Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we continue our Lenten journey, we are now transitioning between week 2 and week 3 of our theme of living as people of the resurrection. On Ash Wednesday, Pastor Wink talked about pondering, reminding us that Lent is a time to ponder our relationship with God and with one another, and to discover the love of God as seen on the cross and in the empty tomb. The next Wednesday, I talked about purpose, and that the Lent is a time to find God's purpose in our lives. Our purpose is fulfilled in the redemption of Jesus Christ, who seeks and saves the lost, and seeks us to a new life by His amazing grace. Last Wednesday, the theme was people. And we are reminded that we are called to be among the people of the world. People matter to God. After all, He sent His Son to die for them. People should matter to us, too. We are sent to love them. This coming Wednesday, the theme is proclaim. And we should be reminded that our proclamation of the Savior brings faith to life. Our sermon for today fits quite nicely between the people and proclaim topics. Our theme for today is trees. I bet you didn't see that coming. But bear with me, because I think it'll be pretty obvious in a few short moments. Many of you know that I'm a service supervisor for a large national home builder. Part of my job is to conduct a final review of our homes. The final review is scheduled just before the first year of warranty expires. The homeowner submits a list to us, we determine what is warrantable, and then we go from there. Recently, I had a homeowner include a dead tree on his list. We typically don't guarantee trees because we have no control over whether the homeowner waters them or not and whether they take care of them or not. This particular homeowner had gotten the okay from my manager to have the tree replaced. So I sent the work order to our landscaper, and he actually replaced it a couple of days or even a week or more before our appointment. At the end of the appointment, the homeowner asked me when his tree was going to be replaced. Well, I had already signed the invoice for it, so I knew that it had already been done, and I had told him that much. The homeowner proceeded to go out into the front yard and verify what I had told him. The problem is that in the cold of January and February, a dead tree and a live tree look exactly the same. He finally consented that it must have been changed, since his Christmas bulbs that had once dangled on the limbs of the tree were neatly piled on the ground at the base. It had been replaced days or even a week before then, and he had just never really noticed. But it wouldn't really be until spring that he could actually see that the tree was alive, because it would be producing buds and leaves, and with that he would be able to tell that the tree was not dead. As it so happens, the house across the street had a final review also, and it had the same issue. One of their trees had died soon after they had moved in, but they had never submitted a service request, consulted a manager or myself, had never asked for help when they noticed that the plant was not doing well. They left it to die, eventually pulling the tree out, roots and all, and we're left with a hole in the ground. Our gospel for today from Luke chapter 13 is also about a tree in a vineyard, a fig tree as it were. The fig tree was expected to bear fruit, but it had not. The owner of the vineyard had determined that if the tree was not bearing fruit, it should be cut down. After all, if it's not bearing fruit, why should it use up the nutrients of the ground? But the manager of the vineyard persuaded the owner to give it another chance, to allow the manager to nurture it, to fertilize it, to care for it, and give the tree every chance to be fruitful. But the manager also agreed that if this extra care did not do the trick, it should be cut down. Three stories about trees. Or are they? I would suggest to you that the stories on the surface really are about trees, but within them, they have a much deeper message. I want you to imagine that in each story, the tree is a person, a believer in Jesus, planted in the soil of baptism. Paul writes in Romans 6, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." I thought it was interesting the King James Version actually uses the word planted. "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." Planted in baptism and united with Christ, we are to live a new life, bearing fruit in keeping with the Father's wishes. The first story, the one about the tree being replaced, I believe it fits well with infant baptism. Much like a tree in winter, when it's really tough to tell the difference between a dead and a live tree, a baby looks and acts the same after baptism as it did before baptism. It still cries, it still messes its diaper, it still eats and sleeps, just like it did before it was delivered from sin, death, and the devil, given faith and forgiveness of sins, and presented with the gift of everlasting life. On the surface, we as humans don't see a difference. Everything looks the same, but God can see a difference. He can look into the heart and see the faith that beats there. With a little time and some nurturing, we too will be able to see the fruit of this new life in Christ. And those Christmas bulbs, those shiny ornaments used to spruce it up a little, well, they can stay right there at the base of the tree, not needed. For the splendor of the leaves and the fruit of God's planting will outshine any effort by man to improve on God's creation. My second story and the gospel lesson for today are pretty similar with one significant difference. In my story, no one did anything to help the tree. To anyone who was paying attention, the tree would have been crying for help. Lack of fruit, withered leaves, and brittle branches, all telltale signs that the tree was dying and needed care. People passed by that tree every day and did nothing to help. They didn't even tell someone that the tree was in trouble. And now all that is left is an empty hole. As we look around today, we see empty seats in the pews. Seats that used to be occupied by someone whom God planted in this fertile ground. When did the holes appear? For some, it may have been a month. Others disappeared a year or more ago. But how many of us noticed? Did we fail these living trees? Did you and I ever offer to them the extra life-saving attention they needed to provide fruit? Did we dig around their roots and stay involved in their lives? Did any of us bring an extra watering of the gospel in the hope of bringing new life to dry, tired branches? Did we as a congregation give them everything they needed for a full, thriving, fruit-bearing life? In a reading from Luke, the manager of the vineyard pleads with the owner on the tree's behalf. The vine dresser promises to dig around it, fertilize it, and nurture it, to give the tree everything it needs to bear fruit. And that is always our hope, that the tree be saved. It is also what connects our sermon for today to the overall Lenten theme as living as people of the resurrection. We are here today, positioned between the weekly Wednesday topics of people and proclaim. God has appointed us vine dressers, managers of His living trees. Our new life, rooted in Christ's saving work and given to us in our baptism, causes us to love and care about and for other people. We proclaim the good news to people around us so that they too may be planted and bear fruit in the fertile ground of God's church. We proclaim the good news to those planted so that they may be nurtured and sustained in God's grace, mercy, and forgiveness. We proclaim the good news in the hope that these small saplings may grow and become mature and mighty fig trees, bearing much fruit. The good news? Well, that's really about another tree. A tree located on a hill just outside of Jerusalem. It's a dead tree, but it once held for a few short hours life itself. It's on this very tree that our Savior, Jesus Christ, was crucified in our place. He took the sins of the whole world, yours and mine, upon Himself that day, facing the very wrath of Almighty God in our place. He was placed in an empty tomb not far from that tree. But the stone, the guard, even death itself could not hold Him there. 3 days later, He rose from the dead, appearing to His disciples and others, eating and drinking, and restoring faith to those who doubted. After 40 days, Jesus ascended into heaven with the promise that He will return to judge the living and the dead. When the owner of the vineyard returns, what will he find? Will he be pleased with your fruit, or will you be cut down? Verse 5 of our gospel tells us that unless we bear the fruit of repentance, we too will be cut down. God doesn't want you to be cut down. He wants all to be saved. So He sent His Son, Jesus, to intervene and intercede on our behalf, doing everything possible to save you. Through the law, Jesus digs down to your roots and exposes your sin. Through the means of grace, the fruit of forgiveness is heard in the proclaimed word. Through absolution, the lessons, the sermon. The nourishment of eternal life is savored as the water of baptism is poured out upon your body, tasted as you eat and drink the body and blood of Jesus Christ in the Lord's Supper. God has provided all you need for life and spiritual growth through His Son, so that believers like you and I may bear the fruit of repentance and live. Trees. Who would have thought trees fit in between the Wednesday night topics of people and proclaim? And yet the Holy Spirit uses a couple stories about trees to show us about living as people of the resurrection. So I urge you to bear fruit where you are planted, not only for your sake, but for those around you. God has provided all the nutrients you need through word and sacrament ministry, His own brand of miracle grow. And if you see someone struggling in their faith, with church attendance, or with life itself, be an encouragement to them. Let's not let any more holes appear in the pews around us. Let them know that God loves them and that you care for them and support them. Give them a hug. Be a tree hugger. And to God be the glory. Amen.